I'm going to be reading from Psalm 8. I wish many times that we could sing the Psalms as they were sung by the Jews, by the Hebrews, and by other languages also. But you know, we never learned the music that goes with the Psalms. In our tradition, that was lost over the years. In the early church, I'm sure they sang the Psalms. So I'm not going to have you try to sing this morning, but I would like to do this in many of the Psalms. It was done almost responsively, where they would have two groups. One sing one part, the other sing the next part, and they would separate it by verses or by phrases. And as you know, the Psalms many times are written almost like in poetry, where you could really separate phrases. So this morning, I'd like us to divide the group right down the middle here. So kind of pick whether you're on this side or on this side. I would like this side to begin by reading verse 1. This is in Psalms 8. This side will do verse 1. This side will do verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then all together verse 9. Pardon? We're doing 3 and 4. Oh, we put them together there. Ah, let me see where it does separate. Well, 3 and 4 we'll read in unison, so we'll do that. Okay? Begin on this side. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. And infants, you established. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are grateful for them, human beings that you care for them? Altogether, you made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under your feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of your sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I'll also be reading from Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read the last verse or the last phrase here in chapter 4 also, because chapter 5 starts with a therefore, and when you have a therefore, you got to know where you're coming from. Therefore, why? And the why or the therefore is, let us who believe that God raised Jesus from the Lord from the dead. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace by which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Randy, blessings as you lead us.
Let's begin with prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you love us. We thank you for your eternal mercy and grace. God, in this time now, as we look at these texts in the Bible, we pray for your Spirit to guide this time as we figure out together how to follow you more faithfully and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who am I? Who am I? Well, I'm Randy Keener. I know that. Born in Lebanon, Pennsylvania in 1984, May 17th. I have a brother, I have a sister. I have a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. But who am I? Who am I when I really start to dig in to who I am? I want to give a couple little stories here of how we can think about who am I. There's a story from John Roth in the book Stories. He talks about his middle school age daughter who came home one day and the whole world was falling apart. Normally a very even-keeled girl, today was not a good day. And she went up to her room after a really bad argument with her parents, very upset. And John says in the book, he went upstairs, aware that it was a hard day. And he went into her room and he saw her look through photo albums and stories of their family. And she was asking those questions, who am I in this family? These stories that I've grown up with, is it who I am too? Who am I? Or I might think of the Mexican-American in the 1970s in Los Angeles, California, who came from Mexico with all of their traditions and experiences and rituals and family experiences and foods and the way they celebrate their birthdays. And now this sophomore in high school is in Los Angeles with new traditions and a new culture and new music, new expectations, new assumptions. Who am I? Is something that this sophomore is asking. Or I think of what Bishop Jason was telling us last week. That 2 a.m. granola moment in the middle of the night when you wake up and every vulnerability that you feel is hitting you all at once and you can't sleep. You're questioning, am I worth anything? Do I really do a good job at my work? The laundry is completely piling up. I feel extremely overwhelmed. Sometimes it's even hard to get out of bed. And it's just really hard right now. God, who am I? Or, finally, I think of this example. When I'm out walking in the woods, and I'm in Maine, and I come across this clearing, and I just see what looks like hundreds of beautiful lakes in Maine. And if you've ever been to Maine, you know there's a lot of beautiful lakes up there. And you're just looking out, and you're in like 5,000 feet up, and the only words that you can think of is, God, in the midst of this incredible, vast creation, who am I? Who am I? Maybe one of those stories you connected with. I know for myself, I think I've connected with each one of those except for the being a Mexican-American experience. Although I have a very good friend who has walked that experience and I've learned some things from him. But it's a deep question that I think many of us ask. And on this Trinity Sunday, we have a text here in Psalms and a text in Romans where I believe we can find some, hopefully, some answers to this question. But maybe if it's not answers, it's some thoughts on the journey. But there's no question that the writer in Psalms is also asking this question: who am I? The psalm begins with words of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And you have to imagine that the writer is out in this beautiful creation of God, maybe out with in the pasture with sheep, and just has this almost existential moment of asking, who am I that you would care about me? When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, how can you ever care about this mere mortal being? And so we have this question that the psalmist was wrestling with and that we continue to ask ourselves today. And as I was thinking about where I would begin just with this simple question of who am I, well, I maybe need to first start with, well, who is God? Well, who is God? If I am created in the image of God, I think we need to start there before we go to us. Indeed, God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our entire worldview is shaped around God as followers of Jesus Christ. And so who is God? Well, on this Trinity Sunday, we acknowledge, as we did in the beginning of this service in our call to worship, by acknowledging this triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it's very appropriate in this creation psalm here in Psalm 8 that we also acknowledge the Trinity. Because indeed in the creation itself, we see images of the Trinity. God the Creator. But then we also have these beautiful texts of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters at creation. And then we also have the Word made flesh in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Logos in Greek, the Word, was with God in the very beginning of creation. And so already we see these three yet one. And if you go back and study a little bit of the Shema, which is what any good Hebrew Jew would have grown up reading. This was like the foundational text. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And why was that so significant? Because to declare one God was very different from many of the other religious beliefs and philosophical beliefs in that time. The idea of one God was so foundational. And yet, it doesn't make sense. Because there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How can this only be one? And so as I think about this question of who am I and who is God on this Trinity Sunday, my first word is just simply, this is confusing sometimes. There seems to be a mystery here. And I want us to be able to embrace the mystery of the Trinity while also naming the conviction of the Trinity. Why do I think that's important? Well, I think we live in Western Christianity, Western Protestantism, which is shaped by modernity and rational thinking and the belief in science. That's very particular to where we live. And for the past 500 years has been a part of who we are. We've been shaped by an importance in rational thinking, in being able to figure things out clearly, and belief in science. And so we sometimes forget to give that space for the mystery. The psalmist's question of who am I has become our question. It's a profoundly theological question. And so it's fitting for Trinity Sunday today that we ask this. But as we think about who is God and who are we, I would invite us to linger in the mystery expressed in Psalm 8. Linger for a while in the question. It can be easy to try to explain the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and boil it all down to a very simple formula. But I would invite us to open ourselves up to the mystery of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one. And in the mystery of the Trinity, we acknowledge so many things that we can name is true. For one, there is this very deep intimacy in the Trinity, a very deep understanding of relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that live in peaceful unity with one another, that show us fundamentally, I believe, how we are created in God's image and how God desires us to also live in intimate relationship with God, with one another, and in creation. Peaceful relationship. Who am I? I'm created in God's image. The image of three in one in relationship, in love with one another. And then as we look at this text in Romans, a text in Romans 5 that also shows us images of the Trinity. If you read through it, you will see that God is named, our Lord Jesus Christ is named, and in verse 5, the Spirit is named. And so we see again this image of Trinity coming in. And this can also help us to figure out this question of who am I? Who am I? Well, as a follower of Jesus, I believe that I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That if we're going to begin and end with God, then we have to really ask, what does grace mean? What does it mean that we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand? And I love this because Romans 5 tells us that if we're going to ask this question of who am I, you gotta start with God first. Because it's through God that A, we've been created, that we've been sustained in love, that we've been restored back to relationship with God through the cross and the resurrection, through the forgiveness of sins. And it's in our ending, God. Who am I? I am at peace with God through Christ. And it says in verse 3, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I just want to say one thing here about this text that I just want to name this. Sometimes I believe when we read about suffering producing endurance. Certainly in the context of Paul writing here, we understand that Paul suffered greatly. He was persecuted physically for his faith. But sometimes these texts can be a little bit misinterpreted, and to the point where people were actually staying in really harmful relationships because they believe that their suffering is what God calls them to. And there's been too many times in the church when we haven't made it safe for people to say, I'm suffering and it's not healthy. And so if you are suffering in an abusive relationship, whether it's emotional or physical or sexual, that's not God's desire for you. And you're not called to endure that suffering because of your faith. It's important that you tell someone that. And that's really hard to do. But sometimes the church is not the safe place to talk about that suffering because, well, we read here that suffering produces endurance. But in the Mennonite Church, USA, one of the initiatives right now is to really become more aware of how emotional and physical and sexual violence is within our own church here. And we want to be a safe church. We want to be a safe church. And that's part of our initiative that we went through with our safe church training. And so, yes, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. But as a safe church, we want to be able to share when we're suffering in those kinds of ways. And then in verse 5, hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I think back to that 2 a.m. experience when you wake up, and usually I sleep pretty good, but I'm going to say there are sights when you just wake up with something on your mind, and it is a vulnerable time, as Jason shared. It's just, you just are like so hard on yourself. Man, that conversation just didn't go as well as I hoped. And what do they think of me? And am I going to have a job in 2 months? Well, no. But seriously, we can all think of those contexts where we're in. We can be so hard on ourselves sometimes. And man, we just got to hear these words from Rome, from Paul, and just say it over and over and over again. You are loved by God. God's love has been poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Who am I? I am loved by God. And now let's go back to the Psalm text again. This beautiful psalm of questioning, who am I as a mortal? And then it says, I have been made a little bit lower than the heavenly beings. And not just that, but part of who I am, part of my identity, is that God has given us the task of caring for this beautiful world. Let's read what it says here. It says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, this is the beautiful creation that we live in. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. And here's where I want us to really pay attention. You have given them, us, dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And so as I ask this question of who am I, not only am I called to be in relationship, Trinitarian loving relationship with God and with others, not only am I assured again of the Holy Spirit and that I am deeply loved by God, but now we see another angle to who we are. We are called as followers of Jesus to participate in this creation, to participate with God in salvation history, to participate with God by caring for this earth, caring for one another. Now this puts a whole new angle to who I am, because now this isn't just something that I have received, but this is something that I participate in and live into. God has given us work to do. It's the vocation of all of us, the church, to be God's representatives, to care for the earth, to care for one another. I believe God loves us so much that God says, I love you so much that I trust you to take care of this creation that I've created. And if you're going to take care of the creation, you're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself as well. In the hospital as a chaplain, I work and I listen and I sit with many people who are going through a hard time. Some of them have lost the ability to work. And that's really significant because we often find our identity in our jobs and our vocations. And so when you're on disability and you're sitting at home all day, you really start to dig deep into that question of who am I? And it's really vulnerable because it feels empty. And so part of my work as a chaplain is to help them explore and see where they find meaning and purpose in their life in the midst of this difficult experience of not being able to work, of not being able to walk as well as they would like to, of facing the reality that they might not have very much longer to live. Who am I in the midst of these experiences? What gives me meaning in my life anymore? And as I sit with them and listen to them, it often goes into the importance of family relationships or hobbies that they have. But the consistent thing that I find amazing is that the things that give them the most meaning often is when they're able to help someone else. A volunteer opportunity, or it might be a niece or a granddaughter that they're able to connect with and love. Because now all of a sudden it's not just something they receive or enjoy doing, but they feel like they can give back. That is what gives them some of the most meaning and purpose in their life. And I think that that is exactly what we find in the psalm today. We are so deeply loved by God that we can't help but send it back out. To participate in God's love is to love our neighbor, to love our enemy, to walk with one another in times of need, to care for this beautiful creation. This is being the church. And so who am I? I'm called by God to love one another, to help those in need. And in that, we will find part of our identity as well. We will be mutually blessed. And so on this Trinity Sunday, as we ask, who are we? Who are we as well? I would invite us to embrace everything, including the mystery. Dig into the mystery of God, the beautiful mystery of three in one. It doesn't make rational sense, and yet that's why it's faith. That's why it's faith in this God. And I love this text in Psalms because in the midst of the questions of who am I, God, it begins and it ends with a word of praise. And may that be our invitation this morning, that as we ask these questions of who am I, God, we don't forget to begin and end with a word of praise to God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.